Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Part 3. Daniel Ross had worked in the security division of the Windy City Casino Hotel and Resort, usually just referred to by staff and locals as the Windy, for 4 years. But he'd grown up in Vegas and spent most of his late teenage days around the hotels on the Strip. He had never been able to get into the casinos themselves when he was young, though. But like most Vegas natives, he wasn't really into gambling, even after he turned 21 and could do it legally. What he did love were the colors, the lights, and the never-quiet pulse of the neon city. As a boy, he had never tired of watching the lights on the Strip at night, and his teenage bedroom had actually been lit by the lights of the Circus Casino. When he'd been old enough, he had begun working at various casinos, and 4 years ago, he'd been headhunted to the Windy. His official title was Assistant Chief of Security, but what he did most was supervise the surveillance room and its staff. The actual chief, Robert Dean, was an old-fashioned guy. When he was not dealing with administrative work, he preferred to spend his time on the casino floor itself, spotting cheaters and offenders by eye. Daniel stood by the bank of monitors that comprised the Windy's main surveillance display and was looking over the recordings from last night. Next to him was a plainclothes detective from Las Vegas Metro Police.
"Play it again, Danny,"
the detective said, leaning forward. His eyes never left the screen. Daniel clicked his mouse, and the recording backed up. The man in the black jumpsuit again walked down the hallway, looking neither left nor right, and heading towards the door to room 2811. He didn't hesitate or pause. Instead, he vanished into thin air right in front of the door. It was like a movie trick, except the Windy's surveillance cameras were not made to create elaborate trick photography.
"Where did this guy come from?" the detective asked.
"He must have entered the casino at some point, right?"
"That's just it." Daniel clicked a few keys, and the image reversed.
"Okay, so we've got a few cameras showing his movements. We're starting with the one in the corner of the corridor. See him walking past it? Next is the camera in the elevator. He's still walking past, see? So he didn't come up in an elevator. He was already on the floor. But when we go here..." He clicked the button, and a third image filled the screen. "This is the one from around the corner. He didn't come around the corner. He basically appeared out of thin air between the elevator and the corner." The detective scratched his head. "If I didn't have a body upstairs, I'd be tempted to think you were screwing with me, Danny. I really would."
"Actually, it makes a lot of sense to me,"
Mick Mundy said. He was one of the surveillance room techs and had been listening in on the conversation since he was the one who'd alerted Daniel to the situation. "He disappears into thin air and then obviously reappears inside the door so he can kill Dr. Brinkman. It makes perfect sense that he would also be able to appear out of thin air. And of course, he then vanishes again after the murder. The only other way out of that room would be a 30-story drop, and we would have been able to scrape him out of the bushes this morning if that's where he went. We didn't."
When the detective looked at him dumbfounded, Mick smiled an apologetic smile.
"Come on, detective. You don't think a guy works in surveillance for a while in a city like this and doesn't pick up on some of the supernatural things you guys always try to cover up?"
The detective shrugged.
"Supernatural is one thing. I've seen some weird stuff, especially during the high season. I've dealt with vampires and been fine with it. At least they usually respect the law, and if not, they respect superior firepower and can be kept in the cooler until their lawyer gets them released. I've had demons trying to eat the guests, and I've had male strippers with fangs and fur. But this, he pointed to the screen again, this is like magic. Nobody ever told me there would be real-life witches and wizards.
I think the rules are that there are no rules, Detective.
Daniel pressed the button on the screen that would copy the footage to a DVD. I'll make you a copy of this. Thanks. Not that I know what to do with it. Put out an APB for Morty the Magical Murderer, maybe? Perhaps I should go question Penn and Teller.
Don't be silly. They don't do real magic.
Daniel ejected the DVD. Here you go. The detective took the disc and put it in his pocket.
All right. If you guys come up with anything else, let me know. You got my number.
Sure. Daniel leaned back in his chair. Maybe we'll get lucky and the facial recognition software picks him up at some point, in the Windy or some other hotel on the Strip.
Maybe.
The detective paused on the way out.
How would we even arrest the guy? He'd just disappear out of the cell.
Give me a vampire any day. At least he stays in the cell we put him in. He walked out, shaking his head. Unless, of course, they put him in a cell facing east, in which case he'll be dust by morning. Mick put his hand on Daniel's shoulder. If you're done here, I've got something you might want to take a look at. I'm not sure if it's related to the murder, but it might be.
If you think it's related to the murder, why didn't you speak up when Detective Markson was here?
Because. This isn't his turf. The Windy's our place, so we take first crack at it.
You're nuts.
Daniel got to his feet and followed Mick to his computer.
You've been indoctrinated by the whole old-style Chi-Town atmosphere in this place. You do know that it's not Al Capone running things here, right?
Of course it isn't. Mr. Dean wouldn't let Capone anywhere near his casino.
Mick sat down and clicked the mouse button, bringing a picture up on the screen.
Daniel looked at a group of people at the check-in counter.
This group arrived a few minutes ago.
So? Daniel looked at them, but saw nothing unusual.
So when I ran the facial recog, all the bells went off.
Mick pressed a couple of keys, bringing a woman's face up on screen in magnification.
This woman, Rhea Weston, a.k.a. Janet Pressman, a.k.a. Mary Smith, a.k.a. a lot of other names. She's in all the black books on the Strip. Suspect in a bunch of art and antique thefts for the past 10 years. Never been arrested, though. No evidence.
Daniel looked at the information scrolling by on the screen. Mick had obviously interfaced with the state police's computers.
Well, we're not exactly displaying precious art right now. The conference is actually the least valuable one we've hosted in over a year. What would she steal here?
I don't know. But a guy dies, and less than 12 hours later, we got a master thief arriving on site? I found it suspicious, so I ran a check on the rest of her friends there. Very interesting crowd.
Mick pressed another key.
Andrew Picard is a former FBI agent, but has no criminal record. Neither does Mercedes Perez here. And so far, so good, right? But the last woman... she doesn't exist as far as the system is concerned. Her driver's license is fake.
Daniel looked at the blown-up scan of the license.
Sure enough, to a man like him, it screamed fake, even though people on the street might be fooled by it. The last 4 digits of the Social Security number were the same as the first.
The last guy, he's even weirder. He's got a license, but when you look him up, it's been renewed since 1915.
He doesn't look like he's over 100.
Daniel looked at the man on the screen.
How could that happen?
I don't know. Maybe he's got a friend in the DMV who renews it for him. Maybe it's just a glitch in the system. But again, weird coincidence that a guy like that arrives within half a day of supernatural murder. And here's the best part.
guess what these guys all work for? Tell me. A detective agency specializing in weird and supernatural cases. Another weird coincidence, right? Maybe. I'll take a closer look at them.
Daniel got up and headed for the door.
In the meantime, coordinate with Metro. When they're done in the suite, we can send for the coroner to pick up the body. The Windy City had taken a clue from the New York, New York casino down the street and built a facade made to look like a city skyline, in this case, Chicago, but it had chosen a more retro look. The skyscrapers that made the skyline were classic ones from the early part of the 20th century, and inside, the theme was the Roaring Twenties, Prohibition and gangsters. Once a day, a shootout between police and mafia hitmen played out in an outside auditorium. The staff wore costumes reminiscent of the era, and even the music in the hidden speakers was from the 20s. The casino was lit in softer lighting than most of the strip casinos, and the slot machines on the casino floor were made quieter, giving the casino a nightclub feel that had proved very popular as a contrast to the stark lighting and loud noises in the other casinos. Jim's eyes widened when they entered, and as he looked around, a wave of nostalgia filled him. Yes, this was a cheap imitation of the city he'd grown up in and lived his early life in, but it brought back memories. When he saw a security guard made up to look like a policeman in the uniform he himself had once worn, he almost felt a tear in his eye. It was so long ago, but he still remembered everything. "I thought you'd love this place," Mercedes said, rubbing his arm. "Not only did I get a great deal on the rooms, but I figured it might even be the hotel where the whole thing happened. You said Rhea spoke about seeing the pyramid and MGM, and you can see both from here."
It's great. I mean, it's a plastic copy, but..." He shrugged. "It's sort of weird. Last time I was in Vegas, they hadn't built any of the new hotels out here. It was all dunes."
"The dunes closed in 93, Andrew said. "That's a long time ago."
"No, I mean actual dunes. I don't think I visited since the 50s. I don't like the climate down here."
Jim wiped his forehead, which was still damp after the heat outside, even though he could feel the hotel's air condition on his skin.
"Let's get checked in and then we can get to work."
He pointed to the counter ahead of them.
"Rhea, what do you say? Could this be the place you saw?"
"I wasn't down in the casino. I was upstairs in a corridor."
"We'll take a look around and see if anything looks familiar."
Jim began walking after Mercedes, who had gone ahead to check them in, when Rhea grabbed his arm.
"No, it must have been here. That's the guy I saw die."
She pointed to one of the video screens that displayed events at the hotel mixed with pictures of the grounds and advertisements for shows. On it was a man's face, and next to it, "Keynote speaker at the paranormal convention, Dr. Emery Brinkman, the elimination of troublesome spirits." Below it, in red, "Event canceled."
"So, he was some kind of supernatural expert," Jim said, looking at the picture on the screen. "Why would Kronos, or whoever he works for, kill a guy like that? It sounds like he was a glorified Ghostbuster."
He paused and then looked around.
"Wait a second."
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Jim let his eyes slide slowly over the casino. There was not a single spirit in sight, something highly unusual in a place with this many people. He lowered his voice a little. All the spirits are gone from here. Do you think they were scared of him? If he knew how to eliminate them, I mean?
Could be. I wouldn't hang around where someone was trying to eliminate me.
Andrew shrugged. Maybe we need to find out more about him, how he worked. Maybe I can summon his spirit and ask him.
I'd suggest you wait with the big summoning thing until we found a more private place.
Rhea looked around.
People might find you weird if you talk to thin air.
Good point. Although Vegas and weird is pretty much the same, Andrew said. They went to the counter, where Mercedes was wrapping things up with the clerk. She turned around and handed them each a key card.
Here are your keys. Don't lose them, okay? I gave you and Rhea a room, Feline and Andrew a room, and...
She faked a swoon.
Poor little me, who's traveling without my boyfriend, gets a single.
That's fine. Let's take the bags up and take a look around. I want to know more about this conference and Dr. Brinkman. Jim grabbed his suitcase when a voice behind them spoke. Maybe I can be of assistance in that regard. They turned and looked at the man speaking. He was a handsome man in a suit and stood next to one of the large green plants that marked the entrance to the Green Mill Jazz Club. Are you here for the convention? He asked, cocking his head toward the screen they had just looked at.
No, we're here to investigate,
Feline began, but stopped when Andrew squeezed her arm.
We're here to see Dr. Brinkman's lecture, Jim said.
But I see it's canceled.
Yes, unfortunately. But the rest of the convention is still going on as planned.
The convention? Mercedes asked.
The Searching for Spirits convention. I assumed you were a part of it, if you're here to hear his lecture.
I'm sorry, who are you again? Jim said.
Daniel Ross, Surveillance and Security. And speaking of names, we've had some fairly interesting hits on some of your names in our system. Especially you, Miss Weston.
He looked at Rhea and raised one eyebrow.
Are you here on business or pleasure?
Rhea, who had taken off her sunglasses when she entered the casino, now put them back on.
I can't see that it's any of your business what I'm here to do.
Jim cleared his throat.
Actually, Mr. Ross, perhaps you are exactly the person we want to talk to. But is there a place where we can do so in a more private surrounding?
Daniel hesitated for a moment, made a gesture with his hand, and a bellhop showed up, almost out of thin air. He was wearing the classic red suit and pillbox hat, and Jim again felt a wave of nostalgia.
Take these bags to the storage unit.
But we have rooms, Mercedes began, but Daniel cut her off.
We have the right to refuse service to anyone, just like any other business. And to be honest, Miss Weston's rap sheet makes me a bit uneasy about you staying here. So we'll talk, and then I'll decide if you'll be refunded for your rooms or if you can stay. Follow me, please.
He walked across the casino floor and to an unmarked door, which he opened with an ID card. The Tempest team followed him from the lavish casino into a stark gray hallway leading deeper into the building. They hadn't walked more than a few steps before Daniel opened another door and led them into a small room. It contained a table, plastic chairs, and a whiteboard, which still had some bullet points from the last meeting held in here, written on it.
Have a seat.
Daniel sat at the end of the table and gestured to the other chairs.
Jim kept his temper, even though he felt like telling the young man a few things.
They all found a place to sit, Feline putting her feet up on the table until Andrew pushed them down. She frowned.
What? It's an uncomfortable chair.
Just sit properly and keep quiet for now, Andrew whispered.
This is Jim's and my show.
Mr. Ross, Jim began. If you know who Miss Weston is, you probably know who we are. The question is, how much you know?
That you work in some kind of supernatural investigation firm?
Exactly. Tempest Investigations deals in all the cases too strange for traditional law enforcement. I'm sure you, in your job here, have seen a lot of things that you couldn't explain by normal means, things that crossed into the supernatural realm.
I've seen weird stuff, sure.
We know about the homicide you had here last night, and an educated guess says that you've not solved it yet.
Solved it? We're not the police, Mr. Corrigan. We don't solve crimes.
Andrew laughed.
Come on! I spent a long time in the FBI. The most annoying busybodies and amateur detectives are security guards, and the most eager of those are casino security. I'm sure you're all over this case.
Daniel looked at him for a moment and seemed to consider how to proceed. Jim continued. I'm sure you're trying to figure out how a man could appear and disappear at will. Am I right?
How the hell do you know?
Because it's our business to know what others don't, to paraphrase Sherlock Holmes. But mostly because Miss Weston here might have some unique insights into the abilities of this assassin. We're actually here to help you, believe it or not.
Daniel stroked his chin. That sounds all well and good, but I've got no reason to trust you. In fact, knowing things like this...
Then call our references,
Mercedes said, getting annoyed with Daniel's attitude.
Dios mío, you'd think you never heard of independent contractors in Vegas. Call Inspector Charles from the SFPD, or call Charlie McCoy from Cole's department store. They'll vouch for us.
Jim looked at Mercedes for a moment, but her outburst seemed to have the desired effect. Daniel looked at her.
You work with the SFPD?
When you're a private eye in San Francisco, you have to, Jim said. But I've worked with them for a long time as a consultant, especially on murder cases. So if you want confirmation, give them a call. And then maybe we can cut the crap and you can apologize for being rude to Miss Weston.
He was just asking her if she was here for pleasure or business,
Feline whispered to Andrew.
That's not so rude.
He was asking her if she was here to steal anything. And yes, that is a rude thing to say. Daniel got up from his chair. All right. I'm sorry if I came off as rude. I didn't mean to be, but it's been a tough morning. Let me make those calls and I'll be back in a minute. Just stay here, okay? He left the room and closed the door behind him. Jim was fairly sure he heard a lock click when it closed, but didn't bother checking. He looked at Rhea.
You okay?
Rhea sighed.
Yes, I wasn't exactly expecting this, but, well, there's a reason I always stay off strip when I'm in town. It's easy to get blacklisted if you've got a criminal record.
But you don't.
No, but I've got a ton of times I was a suspect in various heists. The FBI and police put so many red flags in my permanent record, they look like the Kremlin parade, even though there's absolutely nothing concrete about it. It's a miracle I'm not on the no-fly list yet.
How were you a suspect if nobody saw you teleport?
Jim,
Andrew said, nodding up at the ceiling.
You might want to have that discussion some other time. If one thing is a constant here in Vegas, it's that someone is always watching and listening.
Jim looked up and saw that one of the silver eye-in-the-sky cameras sat in the middle of the ceiling.
That's the kind that can look every way at once and zoom in so close they can count the hairs in your mustache, if you had one,
Andrew said.
So let's just wait for the guy to come back.
Feline spent the next few minutes staring up at the camera, trying to imagine how it zoomed in on her. She could see her own distorted reflection in it,
and she wondered if the people behind the camera were looking at her. Eventually, she got bored and pulled out her phone to play one of the games on it. After about 20 minutes, Daniel returned. He carried a tray with a coffee pot and several cups on it. "I'm sorry to have kept you waiting," he said as he put the tray down on the table. "I had to hold for a while to get a hold of Inspector Charles. But you're right, he vouched for you, and so did Mr. McCoy. Pretty wild story with that shape-shifting guy at Christmas."
"It was a case like any other," Jim said. "But now that you know we're legit, why don't we talk about the issue at hand?"
Daniel sighed.
"I really should talk this over with the head of security, but he's apparently been called to a meeting with the owner in L.A. Worried about bad publicity, probably. So it's up to me what to do, and, well, you check out, so fine.
What do you want to know?"
"Who was this Dr. Brinkman? We only know he was murdered, not who he was."
Jim poured coffee, but never took his eyes off Daniel.
"He was the keynote speaker at the convention. It's some kind of weird Ghostbusters type of people. Some of them are priests, some are parapsychologists, and then there are those people who have their own web series where they visit haunted houses. Brinkman was apparently more about the technological side of it all."
"What do you mean?" Andrew said.
"I mean that he apparently constructed some device to destroy spirits and ghosts. I know, straight out of a movie, right? He was going to present it on stage today."
"You mean he invented a Ghostbuster gun? What do they call them? Proton pack?"
Mercedes said. "I don't think it's as fancy as that, but yes, I suppose so. I met the man when he checked in on Thursday, and he showed it to me. It's a kind of black box with buttons on it. Looks sort of like an old cell phone, the ones the size of a brick, you know."
"And this device," Rhea said, "where's it now?"
"Stored in our vault. Brinkman put it there on Thursday for safekeeping. It was going to be brought up for the presentation, but now I don't know what we're going to do with it. I suppose his family should get it back."
"Have you checked on it since his death?" Jim said. "Perhaps it's been stolen by the person who killed him."
Daniel looked almost offended at the idea.
"With all due respect, Mr. Corrigan, our vault is one of the safest in the world.
And the killer could teleport right inside your hotel room. No place is safe," Rhea snapped.
Daniel looked at her. "How exactly do you know the details that we haven't released to anyone yet? I realize you guys are supposed to deal with the supernatural, but..."
"Because she and the killer shared minds," Feline said, receiving a kick on the shin from Andrew. She looked at him, irritated.
"That really hurt! Stop it!"
Jim lit a cigarette and looked at Daniel.
"Okay, Mr. Ross. I think it's time we take this story from the top. I'm not going to tell you what's covered by our client privilege, but enough that you can be sure we're here for a good reason."
Daniel pushed an ashtray toward Jim.
"Fine. Start talking."
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.